Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Bayer, and this is my brother, Jonah.
We're two siblings who love to talk about our childhood and nostalgia and how it shaped us into the people we are today.
Who wouldn't mind being stuck on a lonely island with today's guest?
Welcome to How Did We Get Weird?
Well, we're really excited about today's guest, even though he's already coming after us pretty hard.
No!
You know, Jonah, I know that you and many people know that we were on a little show called Saturday Night Live together, but did you also know that I got to do his show, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and we had a real blast together, and I learned something kind of valuable. I don't know. I want to get into our guest's thoughts about this today, but Jonah, something that's kind of weird is when you have a stunt double. Have you ever had a stunt double, Jonah?
Have I? No, I have not.
Okay. Well,
oh, you must. You,
actually, why don't we just introduce today's guest, yeah, and then I'll get it. And then, okay. So today's guest is an actor, comedian, writer, producer.
Gosh.
You might know from Lonely Island, the cast made on Saturday Night Live. He also produces, starred in the hit comedy Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Has been some of your favorite movies like Palm Springs. And his new cartoon, Digimon. Please welcome Andy Samberg.
It's Digman, but thank
Digman.
You. Digimon is also something that's hugely successful. I don't think they need extra love.
Don't you think like you could get some success off of that?
Maybe, like people who accidentally turn ours on trying to watch
yeah.
Digimon.
Because what I'll tell you is that I forgot to write it into the intro, and so I remembered it as Digimon.
Well, yeah.
What
it's
is
only
Digimon?
One letter, I think it's only one letter difference. Although, is it M-A-N or M-O-N? Digimon.
Oh.
I mean,
Mon. Yeah. It's Mon.
M-O-N.
And yours is Digman?
Yes. And you've correctly pointed out the thinly veiled meaning because he's an archaeologist.
Oh, I love that. I'm sorry. It's so rude to have you on the podcast and be like, what do you do?
So
like,
where do I know you from? It's like my parents' friends. Would I have seen any of your stuff? She's like, it's fine. Just, I'm their kid.
I feel like, what do a little research, Vanessa. Watch one episode.
That's not, you know what? This show is not about the present. It's about the past. You're welcome.
That's right.
So true.
Yeah. Thank
so
you
true.
So much for that. Now, Andy, I don't even know if you know this, but my stunt double on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, who I think I was supposed to be stealing something out of a refrigerator and running, they did something that I thought was so smart, which I ended up using on my show, which was they gave her two moles on the side of her face, which I have, where my dad would call them beauty marks. And then I think it really looked like me. That's it.
When you saw the shots of the stunt.
Yeah, I thought, well, first of all, I don't know how you feel about stunt doubles, but I always am like, please make them be skinny because I want that to be.
Yeah.
For you know
me,
what I mean?
I mean, I've talked about this before. We did the movie Hot Rod, which is all about stunts. So I had many stunt doubles, and there were some prosthetics involved. And there were a few that were a little questionable. Let's just say that.
Got it.
Where I was like, yeah. Is that really? But yeah.
It can be like, how does the world see me? And then you're like, oh, like that. Cool.
Yeah, but then when you see it edited, you're like, oh, it doesn't actually matter.
Yeah. You really just are paying attention to the cool action they're doing.
Does somebody look like you like for a split second?
Right.
Were you happy with how you were edited on the show?
Yes, I was. I had so much fun doing that show with you. And you know what else? I just remember we got to sit around and talk so much.
Yeah.
That was so fun with the most expensive coconut water.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was for me.
Yeah, that was awesome. What kind of coconut water was that?
It's, I forget the name. I've had a million bottles of it.
Was it Harmless Harvest? That's a big
one. Yeah, the one
it
that
was Harmless Harvest.
That's pink.
Yep.
I feel like it used to say, like, if you get a pink one, don't worry. And now they're all pink.
Yes, you're totally right. It did used to say that. And now, yeah, the odds are you're going to get a pink one. It's so high that it can't just be an outlier.
Yes.
That seems messed up. What changed?
It does make me wonder, like, is there something that they stopped doing on a quality level?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Or did they, like, have a board meeting and they were like, guys, I'm hearing that people really like just prefer the pink.
Yeah. It sets us apart. It's our calling card.
Yeah.
Andy, I had a hot rod question for you.
Ooh, please.
We're on the subject. I feel like the cool bean scene is so funny, has aged so well, and it's like so absurd. And I felt like when that movie came out, that type of comedy was not as much of a thing, especially in the kind of like a mainstream film. I mean, what was it like kind of including that scene? Did you know it was going to go in the movie, or how did it kind of come into fruition?
That scene, we did not intend for it to be musical at all.
Okay.
It was originally in the script, just I believe as something Keeve wrote to be like intentionally lame, where Rod and Kevin make up and they go, cool beans? Yeah, cool beans, like kind of dramatic. And then we were looking for places to extend and try wackier stuff. And we were like, oh, maybe they could go back and forth like 50 times and say it crazy to each time and try a bunch of different voices and blah, blah, blah. So we shot a ton of takes saying it different ways. And no matter what we did, when we cut it together, it was just not working. And it was, you know, studio movie. So we had done, I think, one or two test screenings, and it was like, cool beans is fucked. And then I pitched to Kevin Yorm in the edit, which we were editing during SNL, of course, because it was a Lorne joint.
Right.
I was like, what if we chopped it up and made it into like sort of a rinky dink beat kind of song? And Yorm was like, I would try that. Keith was like, we're on deadline. I'm just going to keep going. But if you guys want to take it into a different room and work on it, great. So me and Yorm basically just took the day, went into an adjacent edit bay and did that. Brought it back, showed it to Kiva. He's like, I love it. I don't think we can do it, but let's just put it in because we have one last test screening. And then when it eats shit, we'll know that we've done everything we can and Cool Beans is gone. So we did the last test screening and it destroyed and was like on a lot of people's like, it was my favorite scene in the whole movie. And we were like, holy shit, we did it. And now granted, as with comedy is always in a test screening, it was also on a lot of people's like, that was my least favorite thing in the movie. But for us, I think the percentage was higher favorite. And we were like, all right, Cool Beans is in. And then thank goodness.
And now here we are.
Now here we are with you, Jonah, liking it, which is really enough for me. Oh. Wow.
Thank you, Andy. Yeah, well, it's interesting, right? Because Vanessa, you never really did any SNL films when you were on the show. You did films but not related. Like, that was a thing, obviously, with Chris Farley, Sandler, Dana Carvey.
Oh, I see what you're
right?
saying. Yeah. Right. Yes, yeah, I never...
Ours was... Sorry not to interrupt, Vanessa.
Okay.
I mean, I did. But we were in a new era. Like, MacGruber was that.
Yes.
Hot Rod was more like they had that script because they were developing it for Ferrell.
Whoa. Okay.
And then I think at one point, maybe even Jimmy was attached.
Wow.
And then it didn't happen. And then when we got hired, Lauren had mentioned it to us as like, would you guys be interested in taking this over and making it more your own? And we were like, we were so young. We had just started working at the show.
Oh,
we were
yeah.
Like, a movie? Sure.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah, I never got brought any.
Right.
I wasn't brought any.
Were there SNL movies that happened while you were there, though?
I don't think so. I don't think any SNL movies happened there. No, while I was there. Yeah, I feel like MacGruber was like the last one that sort of happened. And that was like before I got there.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what to tell you guys, except
I'm racking my brain and I think you're it.
Yeah, I can't think of any either.
Yeah, the people have talked about like doing a Bar Mitzvah Boy movie, and that would be so bad. Not to be.
I mean, I would watch the shit out of it.
Okay. Well, the last one was MacGruber, our producer is saying. I think it's a more fun in theory than in practice, but I appreciate that. And I'll probably be coming to you for funding.
Here's what I'll say. I've never watched one of those SNL movies that was a sketch and got turned into a movie and not laughed a lot.
That's true. Yeah.
There's a lot of people shit on them and are like, oh, that one's hacky or that one's not a good movie. But they're all funny.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, obviously, like Wayne's World, incredible.
Wayne's World is the bar. That's the one example where you're like, holy shit, that was actually a smash hit in the actual world, not just for people who love comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
Wayne's World was something else because kids were obsessed with it. Like when I was a kid, I was like, Wayne's World and Bill and Ted are for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
For sure.
Like, whoa, they get me.
Yeah, yeah. Those were so incredible. And I just rewatched Wayne's World recently and I was like, this is still like the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
It's really good. And it moves and it has tons of different types of jokes in it. And it's just interesting the whole time.
Yeah, it's so good.
Vanessa, you know, we went to a premiere of one of Andy's movies.
That's right.
That's My Boy. And
yeah.
Which was such a funny movie. And also, Andy, I'm sure, I don't know if you remember this, maybe you do, but your premiere, all you had, it was like very low key and it was just pizza. And it was like, great. That was such a good call.
There was a pizza party after.
Who doesn't love that? Wait,
the actual premiere for the movie?
Maybe you guys had like a more formal premiere, but I remember we went to like a screening. Maybe this was just like a screening and you had like a real fancy premiere.
Maybe it was a screening
premiere.
We went to, but yeah, I guess in my mind it was the premiere too, but it was a screening.
And it was in New York or LA?
It was in New York.
It was in New York and there was a pizza party after.
Was there like a step and repeat with posters and stuff?
There was like one.
There was like one step. And zero
repeats.
You know,
the more I think about it, I don't think this was the premiere.
It wasn't a premiere. Maybe in my mind that was a premiere, but in reality, it was just a
screening. You were there, Andy, and there was pizza.
Well, I mean, that sounds like a big Hollywood premiere to me.
Now, I have a question.
Are you sure you guys didn't just come over to my house and watch a DVD?
Yeah, we might have just gone to your house and ordered a pizza. And that could be it, actually.
Which, by the way, is something that might have happened.
Sure. Yes. But I mean, I'm curious, like, you know, this is kind of a nostalgia-based podcast. I'm curious for you what your experience was like working with Vanilla Ice on that film.
Oh, thank you for asking. It was delightful.
Amazing.
By the way, Vanilla Ice and Tony Orlando.
Yes. Yes, of course.
In that movie. Tony Orlando, who I still sometimes text with and is an absolute fucking delight.
Oh, and for just our listeners who aren't as familiar with Tony Orlando.
Who is that?
Yeah.
He's a singer.
That's right. And he sings.
He sings music. He's been around forever.
Vanessa, is that for our listeners or for you?
I want to say he started in the late 60s, but certainly he was big in the 70s.
Right.
And then in the 80s.
The big songs
were. And was the co-host of a variety show. Anyway, he's the greatest. Vanilla Ice, super cool. I mean, you know, I had the single of Ice Ice Baby.
Of course.
Before I realized the sample was under pressure and I was like, ooh, I like that song more. But still like the other one, you know?
Good you know, beat. It's funny. No one has ever like outwardly said that to me. And whenever I hear Under Pressure come on the radio, I'm always like, Ice Ice Baby's coming on. And it gets me every time.
There's and some, I'm not like the original's always better. I'm not one of those type purists or whatever. I like rap so much that a lot of times I'm like, I think they flipped it and this one's better. That one, the first time I heard Under Pressure, I was like, holy shit, this song is like incredible. Like maybe one of the best songs, period.
Yeah.
But, you're a little bit like, I wish Ice Ice Babies was going to come on now.
Is that what you want me to say?
I don't know. I don't know. And,
Andy, how different do you think? Do you think your music career would be if you were in an era where you could just sample whatever you wanted and just not ever have to give anyone credit or pay them, and you could just use anything.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, that has sort of resurfaced apparently in mixtape culture, where people just like for a while it was happening in, I believe, New York drill.
What?
But there was just like taking smash hits and sampling them and updating it slightly, but not actually making money on the song itself, because then you'd have to pay. But yeah, I mean, there was a stretch of time when you could just do that and put it on the radio.
I know. Yeah. Yeah.
And you're like, that was
hard to imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. And now.
Now you got to deal with the estate.
Yeah. Yes. And all these narcs.
Wait, say more about that.
You know, people going, that sounds like this song. You go, don't report me, you're jerk. Like,
hey, narc, stand down, narc. I'm doing you. That's what you say, right?
That's what I say.
Yeah, okay.
Andy, I'm curious, like, what kind of music are you listening to sort of currently? What kind of stuff
what's
are you
at present?
At present.
I listen to a lot of indie.
Okay.
Woo!
I do. And a lot of, old stuff. You know, my wife.
I was going to say, you should probably say your wife's music.
Well, I'm always listening to that.
Yeah.
But I'm just meaning, like, in our home, if she had her way, it would pretty much be exclusively albums from the 70s.
Okay.
Got it.
So modern stuff here can be a little bit of a hard sell.
Okay.
Okay.
But I sneak stuff through.
Yeah.
You'll put on like a Pavement record or something? What are we talking?
What we sneak in.
Is there a new Pavement?
I don't know. I'm thinking like an older Pavement record. Or my favorite Matador kind of touch and go band is this band Silkworm. Have you heard them at all?
No.
They're incredible. They were a band from Chicago, but yeah, just...
I'll check it out.
Kind of in the same world.
Let me see. This year, stuff I've been listening to in the indie world. I like the new Julie Byrne record. I like Joanna Sternberg. I like Kurt Vile. I like the most recent Feist record. I like Wasteblood. I like Always. I like Mitski. Those are top of my head.
Yeah.
Did you know that Jonah and I had a little band for a while? Kind of some indie stuff.
What was it called?
It was called Jammin' Vibes, because our names are Jonah and Vanessa. Yeah, we had stuff about, you know, pumpkin rolls that we used to eat, you know, not traipsing around the house with our shoes on.
What kind of genre would you say?
It wasn't as, you know, I would say lo-fi. I would say it was like a pre kind of Moldy Peaches.
Like a Moldy Peaches thing.
It was a real Moldy Peaches-esque.
Kind of a Lie Specter, like bedroom pop kind of a thing. Yeah,
exactly. It was recorded on an actual cassette 4-track.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's how we started too.
Oh yeah?
Really?
Yeah. Our roommate, Matt, had a 4-track or an 8-track, and we would come home after drinking and started making Lonely Island songs. And then it started.
So our bands are kind of the same.
I would say almost identical.
And would you also say that you uploaded your music to MySpace and then your bud, Jay Timberlake, absolutely blew it by...
By what?
By like running that... Where's the MySpace stuff now? We can't
apparently
even get to it.
The MySpace archives of music a bunch got lost, including our demos, which only existed on MySpace.
Oh, and did Justin have to do with that?
Well, he owned it.
He owned MySpace?
Didn't he buy it?
I think he briefly bought it or something, because I was writing for them.
Was he just like kind of flipping it like in an apartment?
Probably.
Yeah, sorry. I kind of got accusatory there of him and honestly of you.
I'm more fascinated. I didn't hear anything about that.
I thought he bought it for a second, but I think you're right. I think he more was doing kind of like a house flip with it.
I mean, we text like once every 2 years, so I'm surprised he didn't tell me about this.
Yeah, it's like, it's weird that like he knows that you know me, if that makes sense.
Right, and that your MySpace music was affected.
Yeah, so it's like, if I'm not saying, you don't have to be too big of a detective to solve the puzzle pieces and know that something's weird. Okay, our producer Olivia is saying in June 2011, Specific Media Group and Justin Timberlake jointly purchased the company.
Got it.
Yeah.
So it's either Specific Media Group or Justin that totally messed with our music.
Dag.
Yeah. That's rough.
Dagwood I was doing some sandwich.
I was doing some work for MySpace around this era, and I would do this article called Free Lunch. Or I would take bands out to lunch, and MySpace would pay for it, and I would like interview them.
Oh, cool.
Awesome.
And I did one with like the Plain White Tees, and they were like talking the whole interview about how bad the food was at the restaurant. It's really funny. I found it recently.
Where'd you guys eat?
We went to, like, in their defense, we went to this Mexican restaurant, like, across the street from Penn Station that was really super overpriced and, like, really bad.
I feel like everyone says if you want good Mexican food, you got to go across the street from Penn Station.
Right.
Or any food for that matter.
That's right.
Totally. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, look, I feel like we've covered a lot of pretty controversial stuff already, but to keep it going, this is Andy, this is me doing a segue into the commercial break.
It's really good.
To keep things going and such, we will gonna take a little we're gonna take a little commercial break. Then we'll be right back with our friend Andy Samberg.
Oh my god.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
And we're back.
And we're back! That was Jimmy's sketch. The morning radio DJ guy. Do you remember that?
Oh, yay.
I still say that all the time.
Glad we're back. Glad of the box.
I love that sketch. Anyway, kind of a comedy guy. So what? SNL, whatever.
Yeah, cool. Cool cast. We're in the cast.
Yeah, we kind of were castmates, if you will.
That's right.
I guess we performed live in front of a studio audience.
So pretty awesome. This so, stuff.
Always weird how in the beginning of sitcoms, speaking of nostalgia, they'd say it's filmed live in front of a studio audience.
I know.
Pre-taped.
But they don't do that anymore, even if it is, right?
Well, the reason they would say that before is so that you know the laughs are real. That's how much Laugh Track was a part of comedy on television.
Right.
So you'd be like, we filmed this live in front of an audience, so you know they're really laughing.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
but then
yeah.
They also would then sweeten the laughs.
Yeah.
It was like a truth to tell a lie.
Right. Which is honestly messed up.
I thought it was interesting.
It's cool, but also it's confusing, as so many things are in life. And speaking of which, we asked you for a topic for today.
Yeah, Andy, don't you love not only doing a podcast, but then having to do homework before the podcast?
Yeah, and in fact, then I started Googling it and sending stuff to Vanessa. She was like, I already found this and I was going to surprise you with it. And I was like, oh, I'll pretend
there
like
was
I'm
a
surprised.
Fun fact. Yeah.
But I'm still going to pretend like I'm surprised.
Okay, cool. Thank you. That's what we agreed upon.
Yeah.
Your topic for today is truly incredible. Jonah and I were so excited about this. It's movie-themed cereals. And do you want to tell us about a cereal that kind of inspired you, that was a favorite of yours when you were growing up?
Yes. The number one movie-themed cereal that I had to have was Gremlins cereal. I was and still am obsessed with the movie Gremlins. I don't know, for whatever reason, it was my absolute favorite thing. And I had the playing cards and the toys. And when I saw that there was Gremlins cereal, I was like, sign me the fuck up, Mom. And we were raised in a house where there was very little sugar, actual like processed sugar food allowed. You know, she would go to the like natural store. I grew up in Berkeley, so there's this place called Berkeley Bowl that still is going strong and has only expanded and gotten huge since then. This is a pretty long sidebar. But she would like bring home, she would bring home treats, and we'd be like, oh, did you get candy? And she'd be like, yeah, these are carob clusters. And we'd be like, what? And she'd be like, oh, they're just as good. And we're like, they're just as good as what, Mom? You know?
Yeah.
Get your head out of your ass, Mom. That was my sister. And I'd be like, whoa, chill out, sis. Mom's cool.
What a good kid.
Unpainted myself out of that corner. Anyway, so I got the Gremlin cereal, and it was like one of the happiest days of my life. I would say like getting that and getting like the first Nintendo.
Right. Which
also nostalgia.
By the way, Jonah and I won the first Nintendo at a Purim festival at our temple because our parents wouldn't buy it for us, but we won it in a raffle.
Ooh.
Yeah, no big deal. We just
probably the best day of our lives.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
You know, aside from my wedding, other things,
better than that. Weddings are stressful. Winning a Nintendo when you're a kid is pure bliss.
It was the best thing. And it was like it came with Mario and with
Duck Hunt.
And it was like this
you could have pronounced that a little differently.
Well, I couldn't remember the name of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
You don't want to say duh and then finish it, is in my experience.
Right. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Got it. But.
So, wait. So, Andy, did you get this cereal came with stickers? Do you remember that at all?
Yes. So, my recollection of the cereal was, it came with a sticker inside and probably a coupon for more of the same cereal. And on the back, you could order a toy.
Yes, that's what.
Like a gizmo plushie or whatever.
And do you remember how much that cost?
No.
$9.95.
Ooh, I mean, right now that sounds like a deal. Back then, that's like $100.
I know, yeah. It was expensive. And it took 4 to 6 weeks. Which it's like, remember how patient we were as kids?
Yeah.
Like now everything is like 2-day delivery, but it used to be like you'd have to wait over a month.
Yeah.
And happily.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it made things feel so much more special too, because it's like, I'm going to send away for this gizmo thing. I'm going to literally send in the mail this thing to the company and then I'll wait 2 months and I'll get it and I'll be thrilled.
Yeah. And in the meantime, you just roll that hula hoop on its side with a stick all over town.
Yeah.
Because we are 100 years old.
Now kids are getting mad because their avocado toast isn't ready in 5 seconds, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Avocado toast was the thing like 50 years ago. We're literally old. Oh, man. But yes, I know what you're saying and I agree. You would wait a long time. I was also in the like Star Wars fan club. And they'd be like, here's an offer. You can buy a lightsaber and like Luke Skywalker's jacket. And it's all this money. And then you wait months. But when it showed up, you'd be like, it's fucking here. Like your life has been leading to that moment.
Now, to come back to this cereal, do you remember what it looked like?
Yes. It was either in the shape of Mugwais or Gremlins, but I want to say it was in the shape of Gizmo, like in little Mugwais, because the cereal was like the color of Mugwai fur. It was like, It almost was like kind of almost like Cap'n Crunchy.
Yes, exactly. Someone said it tasted sort of like an imitation of Captain Crunch.
That sounds very familiar to me, and I'm also almost positive that it like cut your mouth up.
Yes, I'm sure. That's the signature thing about Captain Crunch. And
oh, is it?
This, yes, I'd say so. And this article says that for simplicity's sake, the company pretended that Gizmo was a gremlin. And then this person said, I guess you can't fault the company for not wanting to spend precious commercial TV time explaining the difference between a Mogwai and a gremlin.
Right.
Now, will you explain the difference?
Of course. Gizmo is a Mogwai.
Okay.
Mogwais are tiny, especially in Gizmo's case, adorable, furry creatures with kind of like bat ears almost.
Right.
And whiskers. And they're designed to be very adorable.
Okay.
When you get a Mogwai wet, it multiplies. They come popping out of its back, which is what happens in the movie Gremlins.
Okay.
And if you feed them after midnight, they turn into a gremlin, which happens on accident. The Mogwais that come out of Gizmo's back are mischievous Mogwais. They unplug the clock or they bite through the wire on the clock so that Billy, who is Gizmo's new owner, friend.
Okay.
Doesn't realize it's actually later than he thinks and gives them a bunch of fried chicken or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then when he comes back up, they're in these really gross, slimy pods. They're going through a metamorphosis, much like a caterpillar to a butterfly, except imagine if when it came out, it was a little fucking gremlin instead of a beautiful butterfly. And so the gremlins are like green, slimy, evil, cause chaos, bite, kill, maim.
But Mogwais are cute.
Mogwais are cute. Are exactly. cute. And also a good band.
Yeah.
Andy, did you find Gremlins? Because I liked it, but I also found it to be pretty scary. Were you scared of them or no?
I was. And I was talking to someone about this the other day. I can't believe how much I liked it because I don't generally get down with scary stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think the mythology was so good and the design was so pleasing, you know, that I just was like, I couldn't resist. It's like Aliens. Alien and Aliens are two of my all-time favorite movies, and I'll watch them forever, over and over, even though they scare the shit out of me. But I feel like I'm being entertained on a level outside of just being scared.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting because I think during that era, there were these movies that had these kind of cute characters, but the movies were super like Chucky or Critters or something, where it's like these cute things, but they're doing scary stuff.
Yes. I mean, I believe Gremlins is what kicked off Critters, Ghoulies.
Mm-hmm.
Ghoulies, just the cover of the thing scared me because it was a ghoulie waiting for you inside the toilet.
Ooh, I hate that.
Yeah. No,
I don't think
that.
I know about ghoulies.
Like, oh, you're going to go sit down on the toilet and a ghoulie is going to like bite you in the butt.
Yeah.
That's so scary because that's like a fear that I had even without knowing watching Ghoulies.
100%.
Somebody's going to come out of the toilet and bite you. Isn't that, doesn't everyone have that?
As a kid? If anyone who doesn't is living in a fantasy world.
If you're not. If you're not getting scared every time you sit on the toilet and you're not and you're not jumping on your bed from 10 feet away every time you get into bed,
yeah,
where do you think the monsters are? You know,
I'm with you 100,000,000% on this, Van.
Well, I'm trying to find this fun fact that I was going to surprise you with that you have to, but I'm looking for it.
That you already know.
Yeah, you might already know it. I'm looking for it in my notes here, and I'm having even though you said, do you know as a fun fact what movie Gremlin cereal was featured in because it was by the same director?
Do you want me to act like I didn't send this to you?
No, you can say it because I can't find it.
The Burbs.
The Burbs.
Yes.
Both
directed by Dante.
Yes.
Yes.
And he was like, I'm going to put this gremlin cereal in my next movie in the kitchen. Pretty awesome.
It is a really fun, what they call Easter egg.
There was a different, like, it was a different energy around doing movies back then. Like, you see pictures of Spielberg on set and George Lucas on set for other movies wearing the hats from their hit movies they've already made.
Yeah.
Right.
And you're like, that's so fucking dope. If somebody did that now, I'd be like, get the fuck out of here. Yeah. I know what you did. We all have the internet and IMDb, you know, but instead they were like, I'm proud. I made this awesome hit movie, you know.
And I'm going to wear the merch. Yeah, that is
honestly,
cool.
Like Spielberg wearing like a Jaws hat on the set of Indiana Jones is, I think, a real thing.
That's incredible.
It's so cool.
Andy, did you ever, you talked about Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Did you ever try Bill and Ted's Excellent Cereal?
I didn't.
Yeah, me neither.
I would have in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Jonah, it existed, right?
It did exist, yeah. And apparently they, when Alex
Wait, can I guess what the shapes were?
Yes, please.
Guitars.
I can't, it's so
It's
blurry.
Hard to see, okay. Right?
Yeah, it looks almost like a dinosaur, but this... It might be a guitar. It might be a guitar.
It could be a dinosaur, even though there aren't dinosaurs in the movie, but to imply that they traveled to a time of dinosaurs.
It looks kind of like a duck or something. It doesn't look... it's a music note. It's like a chord.
Oh, they're music notes.
All right. Yeah. Close. Wild Stallions.
You're really close. You're incredibly close. Yes. But yeah, that was such an incredible movie as well. Such a great movie.
Bill and Ted, the song that they go on to create that's playing when they see them... how their like harmony was brought to the universe in the future. I love that song.
Yes.
And they used that song on an episode of Mr. Robot.
Wow.
And I remember as soon as it started, I was like, oh fuck, it's the Bill and Ted song. I'm so jealous. But yeah, beat me to it.
They used that Kiss song too, right? Like God gave rock and roll. Maybe that was for the second one.
Yeah. I forget what the Bill and Ted one's called. It's like In Time or something.
Right. And how cool of a move was casting George Carlin as Rufus. I mean,
so rad.
Oh my God.
I think the song is basically just With or Without You also, for the record.
Okay.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Now, Andy, you were saying you also had a couple other movie serials as a kid that you were into. What were some of those other serials?
The other ones that I was lucky enough to try were, what were they?
One was it Ghostbusters cereal?
Oh, I did get Ghostbusters cereal. Yes. Yeah. Oh, and I got Batman.
Batman and Ghostbusters. So
Tim Burton's first Batman, Michael Keaton, Jack Nicholson, Batman. There was a cereal for that. That was the shape of the bat signal.
Okay. That's what I was going to say.
Those also cut your mouth up for sure.
Yeah. That's another. Yeah. This article says like many, it was this company, Ralston, did a lot of these cereals, including the Gremlins one. The Batman cereal essentially consisted of themed corn pieces, bats.
Corn pieces.
And the prizes were not clear. Okay, but the point is, it was corn pops shaped like bats. And then for Ghostbusters, this was actually General Mills cereal. And do you remember the design of that cereal, what that was?
I'm not surprised to hear it's General Mills because it was a better cereal.
Yeah, and it was a better cereal.
And I believe it had marshmallow ghosts, right?
Yep. Good memory, Andy.
I mean,
marshmallow ghost
mixed
with Fruity O's.
Ah, which is basically just Lucky Charms, right?
It's like Lucky Charms meets Fruit Loops.
Fruit Loops, both of which were pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
Can we curse on this?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, all the time we do it. I love dropping swear words.
Yeah, I know that about you.
What? Andy, what was the negotiation like with your mom, I guess, to kind of get these kind of more unhealthy cereals in the house?
Well, I want to start by saying I'm the youngest of three, so my parents were pretty tired at this point.
Okay.
I think it was like, I didn't get a lot of special stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I would express intense interest, it was always TV and movie stuff. And this obviously is an extension of that. But it was a way for me to sort of Trojan horse sugar into the house to be like, it's like a collector's item that I will immediately eat. And again, they were like, all right, fine. I just don't want to hear about it anymore. Like it costs the same as the other cereal. Just let him rot his teeth.
Right.
It was a big deal that sugar cereal entered the home for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was stoked. And I'm pretty sure my sisters were like, how come he gets that?
Yeah. We weren't allowed to have a lot of sugar cereal, but we had we would get Frosted Flakes, I feel like, a lot, which is really is a sugar cereal. But it's also funny what you say about, like, I feel like when we were younger, there was such an obsession with, like, collector's items.
Yeah.
like the cards of everything too, of like you having the Gremlins cards.
There was cards for everything.
Yeah.
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 And then it, when Garbage Pail Kids started coming, that, forget it. That was game over.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jonah, that was like, you get
a dollar
cards.
Allowance and I'd be like, yeah, four packs of fucking Garbage Pail Kids.
There was also a perception back then, I think because cards were worth so much from the 50s that like it was a smart investment. Like I bought a 1987 top set and I was like, this will send me through college. And then I was just home looking up my cards. And all those cards from the 80s are worth nothing. Like they made so many of them and everyone thought they'd be worth so much that everyone just hoarded them.
Well, the truth though is it was really more about sports cards. Like if you had bought all baseball cards, you would have something because those are still worth money.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But they're not worth as much as you think they would be worth buying them 30 years ago, being like, I'm going to put this in a closet for 30 years.
Yeah, probably not.
Which when we were just home for Thanksgiving, we did discover some of Jonah's old basketball cards,
all kinds of stuff.
All
but yeah, it's not gonna put like, anyone through college.
Yeah, I feel like baseball cards are still kind of the gold standard in terms of how much they can be worth for some.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
I think you're right.
Well, back to these cereals. Did either of you ever try Urkelos? That's the first one that came up in this article I was reading.
Urkelos was a little past my sugar cereal moment,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I guess it was first released. Yeah, it was out from 1991 to 2000.
Right.
Doesn't that seem like a long time?
It had a 10-year run?
Yeah.
Damn.
Now, wow. There was also a Nintendo cereal system cereal.
There was?
Yeah.
I remember Pac-Man cereal.
Pac-Man cereal. There was Smurfberry Crunch, which I feel like was out when we were kids.
Definitely.
There was a Kellogg's C-3POs.
That I would have killed for, but I've never seen that.
Oh, what about, there was an E.T. cereal.
I believe that was before I was to a place where I could ask for something.
I didn't even know about this. This article says the E.T. Atari game was a bomb, but the cereal got popular because of the movie. I didn't even know E.T. was an Atari game.
Oh, I think there's a whole documentary about this. And we did a joke about it actually on Digman, where we... We did the same joke about that Digman had a video game available now on Paramount Plus. and it got buried in the desert like the ED video game because it was so impossible to beat. Everyone hated it. And it was like built up. The ET video game was built up as like, this is going to be the biggest, craziest video game of all time because ET was the biggest hit of all time. And they rushed it to get it out while ET Fever was still at fever pitch.
Got it.
And then it was like a disaster and people like rioted and they took all the ET games and dug a huge hole in the desert and dumped them and buried them.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I think I saw in the documentary they were trying to like dig them back up, right? Or something.
Yes. I believe that was sort of like,
yeah,
that was what they were saying the third act of the doc was going to be, but I don't know what happened. I'm assuming they didn't find any of them.
Yeah.
Well, the cereal was definitely a hit and
yeah,
it was flavored like peanut butter and chocolate. And among the prizes included in the box were trading cards as well as a picture of Michael Jackson and E.T.
Yes. There was a lot of E.T. Michael Jackson crossover stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Did you ever go on the E.T. ride at Universal Studios before they shut it down?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Was it cool?
It was so great.
What happened?
You get on the bike basically and fly up over the town and the forest and everything.
Whoa.
And then you come down, and when you first get on the ride, they take your name, and you're like, that was weird, and then you forget about it. And then as you're leaving, there's an E.T. animatronic saying your name.
Oh, my God.
So if it was us, it would be like, Jonah, Vanessa, Andy, friend. And you're like, oh, shit, you just said my name.
Even you saying it just now gave me such a thrill.
Yeah, because everyone wants E.T. to be their friend. He's the best.
Yeah, he's so nice.
So true.
Well, I just want to name a couple other cereals and see if you remember them.
That you've never heard of.
Okay.
There was a Spider-Man cereal.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. I bet there have been several.
Oh.
G.I. Joe I wanted but never got.
Yeah.
Teenage Ninja Turtle, I think.
Yes.
Never got.
Mr. T cereal?
Never had.
Okay.
I feel like Pee-wee was into Mr. T cereal. Isn't that like in his movie? In Big Adventure?
Maybe. I can't.
That does sound familiar.
I feel like there's something somewhere with Pee-wee and Mr. T cereal. Because of course.
Of course.
We love them.
We love them. Rainbow Bright cereal? That's something I would have loved.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of Rainbow Bright off YouTube because my daughter was into it for a second.
Oh, that would have been great if you could have gotten her that cereal, but I don't think they make it anymore.
Probably a little moldy by now, right?
Is she into the original one? Or because I know they also did kind of like a reboot.
That's true.
No reboot.
Nice.
The theme song for Rainbow Bright is dope.
Yeah.
How does it go?
Rainbow Bright, see the shining light.
It's funny that I can't remember it, even though I was such a huge Rainbow Bright fan.
I think I actually confused Rainbow Bright and Strawberry Shortcake. But I'm sure they rebooted Rainbow Bright.
Oh, yeah, they rebooted Strawberry Shortcake, right? We did an episode about this.
With Jenny Lewis, yeah.
With Jenny Lewis, because she loves Strawberry Shortcake,
as
do I.
She was in The Wizard.
Yes.
I know.
Which I saw in the theater next to the Payless.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I think we saw it in the theater, too.
We did, because everyone wanted that Power Glove so bad after the movie came out.
That Power Glove then was not the hit that I think they expected. That was when they would do, I don't know if that movie was for this, but that was when they would do like movies as like advertisements too, and cartoons as like advertisements.
Yes, I mean the whole ending of The Wizard is an ad for the new Mario Brothers.
Yes.
And we were so hyped. We were like, that's it, that's really it. What I was trying to remember was the Rainbow Bright theme sounded to me like a TV exec was like, make it sound like the Go-Go's.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, interesting.
And I like that.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I feel like Jem's band, Jem and the Holograms, was a little bit. Like Go-Go's.
Jem was dope.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Jem.
I would watch Jem. I believe G.I. Joe and Jem were back to back.
That makes a lot of sense. A lot of sense.
I find it surprising, but I also obviously watched both and was super into both.
You've got to cater to all the kids.
Yeah. But like in terms of like, if I'm programming.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like, you know who, all these little boys who are super into war and the army and tanks are going to want to sit and watch next? Jem.
Right.
They go, this is when kids are awake.
You're saying I'm overthinking it.
That's what I think.
But clearly they knew what they were doing because I watched both and loved both.
I have such a distinct memory of never knowing when Jem was on, but when I turn on the TV and it would be on, I was like, I've done it. Like, I was so thrilled because you couldn't control it like you can today. You know what I mean? Like, you had to watch stuff when it was on. And I remember just it always being a surprise when I would catch it and being like, this absolutely rocks.
That's how I got into SNL.
Really?
Because I was into WWF wrestling, Saturday night's main event. And I was not allowed to watch it. This is the worst thing I did as a kid. I would sneak out of my room past my sleeping parents and go into the TV room and turn on WWF wrestling really quiet and watch it like 2 feet from the screen. But it was only on once a month, and every other week it was SNL. So on accident, I started watching SNL and I was like, I think I might even like this more. And that was it. 8 years old.
Oh my gosh.
I remember staying up and watching it and then waking up during Showtime at the Apollo and being like, what?
Yeah. I watched a
lot
of Showtime.
Remember how you'd fall asleep a lot watching TV as a kid and you'd wake up and you'd be like, what am I watching now?
I related to the seeing Showtime at the Apollo part, but not the falling asleep part. Because I was so wired off sneaking and watching.
Maybe you have a bowl of that Gremlin cereal and you're up
all night,
right?
Still wired off that Gremlin.
By the way, I read this article with this guy who in 2017, he got a box of Gremlin cereal from 1984 from his friend who I guess kept it. Uh-huh. And he opened it and he said, other than the smell, it seemed totally intact and fine.
That
I don't think he ate it, but he said like nothing happened to it.
Preservatives.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
They were like, if there's like a apocalypse of some sort, these Gremlin cereal boxes are going to still be good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We're having such a freaking blast, but we're going to take a little commercial break and we'll be right back.
God.
We'll be right back with Andy Samberg and friends.
You guys are my friends?
Yeah, we're your friends.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Cool.
I guess it's just a nice way of saying it.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's #1 podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Glad we're black!
So now we're going to play a little game. Are you ready to have some fun? More fun?
Always.
Are you ready to have some more fun?
I've heard of morphine, but more fun?
We're going to play a little game called Yes, Nostalgia. And in this game, we're going to bring up nostalgic products, shows, et cetera, that are making a comeback. And if you're into them, you can give them a Yes-stalgia.
Yes-stalgia.
And if you're not, you can give them a Nostalgia.
Nostalgia.
Okay. Are we all going to do it or just me?
We're all going to do it.
Okay.
Now, this first one is so controversial because we were just home for Thanksgiving and our dad has this card, which we've talked about on the podcast before, and I won't explain the whole thing about it, but basically for $2, he bought this card for charity that allows him to get a mini Frosty at Wendy's every time he goes there, if he shows it.
Yeah.
And he is very pissed because of late, they've gotten rid of the vanilla Frosties and he had the choice of pumpkin and like strawberry and stuff. And he's losing his mind over this. He's so mad because he's like, and we're like, Dad, you've already gotten like so many mini Frosties for only $2 that you only pay once.
Right.
But anyways, this first one is Wendy's is bringing back the peppermint Frosty sooner than you think. And basically, I don't know, Joan, if you want to get into this one, because there's like a lot of CEO talk involved.
Yeah. So this was, one of the first things our dad tried to talk about when we came home for Thanksgiving was he's upset. No vanilla. There's these flavors, including this peppermint. And I was like, have you tried them? And he was like, yes, I've tried all of them. I don't like them. The VP of Wendy's says, you know, we love to experiment with new and exciting ways to bring our iconic Frosty to our biggest fans. The magic lies in innovation that builds upon the fandom of our core product that fans know and love. Basically, I don't know. They're trying to capitalize, I think, on this whole pumpkin, peppermint, holiday stuff.
Yeah.
Andy, do you have any thoughts on a peppermint flavored Frosty? What do you think?
I mean, I've never had one and it sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Without any of like involving any of the like political stuff.
Sure.
And just on a pure base, like, hey, would you like a sip of this peppermint Frosty? I'd be like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's brave of you to weigh in on this controversial topic, first of all. And second of all, I mean, do you think, my concern is that it's peppermint, but it's going to be that like fake, really sweet peppermint. Like, I don't know, what kind of peppermint do you think it would go for, something like this?
I mean, I'm a fan of like, quote unquote, trashy candy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Synthetic sugary flavors.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I get into this debate a lot with friends and family. Like for me, like all the like birthday cake flavored ice cream or like, you know, ice cream sandwich, and the sandwich part is like ice cream cake cookie and the, you know what I mean? Like I like all that shit. I go for the nostalgia bait stuff that was kind of trashy tasting when we were kids, but now kind of updated or repackaged. I feel all that.
Okay.
Great. Yeah. Vanessa, what are your thoughts?
Well, Jonah, I think we left out that you kind of bolded this one paragraph in this article about this. And you said, sometimes Jonah makes comments like a little
joke. Oh, yeah.
Okay,
here it is. It takes us 6 months or longer to nail down a new flavor product. However, we were able to develop the peppermint flavor in less than 30 days.
It's assuming we know so much about their process that that's impressive, because it sounds bad. Wait, sounds slow as fuck.
It keeps going, and he says, Jonah,
he says, we work collaboratively across our internal cross-functional teams and supplier partners to pull off something special in time for the holidays last year, and it did not disappoint.
Where are you reading it from? Where do they post that?
That was from, it's from Food and Wine, but it seems like they must have sent Food and Wine some kind of press release.
Yeah. If you're like, that's the front page of the Post.
Jonah, you have to read the best part, which is the last sentence, and then you made your joke.
Oh, and then it says, we're sure it won't disappoint your taste buds this year either. That's Food and Wine chiming in.
Got it.
And then I just wrote, pathetic, pathetic much.
Jonah wrote in all caps, pathetic much?
Fucking corporate shills.
Right? I know. It's like, ugh.
I would say I can't be for this just based on our dad's anger about it.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not a huge peppermint person either, even though I love the holidays. I love candy canes and stuff. And I love peppermint tea. Actually, you know what? I'm for it.
Fully swung. Yeah. Like really quickly too.
Yeah. You think? Yeah. I'm with you. I mean, I think peppermint, it can veer into like toothpaste category sometimes if it's too pepperminty.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's probably good. I would
but
try
it. But do you
it.
Guys Sorry. Like mint ice cream, mint chip ice cream? Do you like
Love it.
Thin mints,
yes.
Girl Scout cookies? Because all that to me is
You're right.
H on E, you know?
I always think that I Heaven don't like earth. That stuff. And then I eat it and I go, what's H on E?
Heaven on earth. Thin mints, Samoas, H on E.
Peppermint patty.
My pick is always patties. Samoas. And I'm a chocoholic. So
Junior mints.
Oh, yeah.
I do love those.
Yes, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I do love those.
I take it. Reese's Pieces is different, but I like those too.
Those are good.
Just thinking about things that I would eat at the same time as Junior Mints.
Yeah, I'll eat most candy. I love candy.
Okay. So we're going to give it a yes-stalgia for the peppermint frosty.
With all due respect to our dad.
Of course.
This next one is Radiohead teases a comeback. After nearly 6 years of silence, the iconic alternative rock band Radiohead might be gearing up for a reunion. This comes from the drummer, Phil Selway, said, we've actually had a little break for a minute. The last show that we did was back in 2018, but we're coming back around to that point now. Andy, what do you think about a Radiohead reunion?
That's not that long ago, 2018. I don't know if this qualifies as nostalgia, but I will say, I don't even consider a reunion because...
Right. Where did they go?
They're just a band that still exists. And they've put out The Smile, which is many members of Radiohead and is super good.
Right.
And I want to say Thom Yorke's solo record was during that time as well.
I think you're right.
That was also fucking great. So I'm very much for... But I question its inclusion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not to be like that guy.
Yeah. It's kind of hard sometimes to find stuff for this game. And so sometimes I think we kind of stretch it a little bit. So I think that's a fair point.
But I'll say this. A fair
point. Yeah.
Now that we're talking about it, I'm a massive Radiohead fan.
Yeah.
Love them. Love all their albums. Listen to them all the time still. And in fact, just this week was... because there were two new Smile songs that came out, and PTA did one of the videos, and I watched it and loved it. I was like, I'm going to listen to that Smile album again, and I've been listening to it all week.
Wow. Incredible.
Andy, you can listen to one Radiohead record, Desert Island. What's your pick?
That's a really hard question.
That's a tough one.
There was definitely a time in my life where I would have said Kid A.
Yeah.
The B-side album of Kid A is Amnesiac, right?
Yes, I believe so.
And everyone kind of was like mad at that one when it came out, because they were like, it's not Kid A.
Right.
But I have to say now, I feel like they're almost interchangeable in terms of how great they are.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair. Okay, Computer, obviously, yeah.
They're kind of an unprecedented band in that they've... I feel like every time they put out an album, you hear it and you're like, it's pretty good. But you have the nostalgia for their stuff that was before it. And then after you hear it a few times, you're like, God damn, it's really good.
Yeah.
Speaking of nostalgia.
I'm trying to keep it on subject.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm with Andy. I think, you know, Reunion, I think, is maybe a little misleading. But yeah, if Radiohead wants to get together, put out some new music, I'm all for that as well. Vanessa, what about you?
I would say that I'm for it, even though I understand that it might be kind of a stretch to call this a reunion because they, you know, they never went anywhere. But also, I'm not trying to be the karma police.
Really good. Almost worth the whole segment.
Yes. Okay, we're going to move on to the next one.
Okay, so this last one is Fall Out Boy has updated Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire. So basically, it's newsworthy events from 1989 to 2023. Andy, have you heard the song first of all?
The original?
Have you heard the Fall Out Boy remake version?
Where they add in like more current events.
I have not heard it.
Okay.
Before we say anything else, I want to just say...
Yes.
...that I am involved in a project with Joe Troman from Fall Out Boy.
Okay.
We are making a comic book together with a guy named Rick Remender called Holy Roller. So... I'm not going to be, it's just like a like, hey, our parent company pays for this show. I'm writing this article kind of a disclosure.
Right.
I mean, Joe has been on the podcast. Joe's
Joe has been on our
also.
Podcast. Oh, we're
He's
big
a delight.
Joe stans.
He's incredible. He's such a great guy. His book
but I have
is
not
amazing.
Heard the Fall Out Boy remake of We Didn't Start the Fire. This came out a while ago?
It came out pretty recently. And I actually picked this for this game because I think it absolutely rocks.
Okay.
It covers. So Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire covers the year he was born, 1949 to 1989. And then the Fall Out Boy version covers 1989 to present.
Mm-hmm.
And people are giving it a little bit of shit because they're like, it's not chronological like Billy Joel's was. And it's like, hey, buds, it's a little tough to write a song and have everything rhyme when you're talking about like 30 or 40 years of stuff.
Right.
I'm a huge fan of it.
Okay.
So you haven't heard it, so you don't even have to weigh in on it.
Great.
But so I guess...
You could see that what I was worried was that it was going to be like, hey, we don't like Fall Out Boy.
Yeah.
Now I realize that's not the case.
That's not the case.
Yeah, that's not the case. We are also...
You know who else likes Fall Out Boy? Post Malone said so on the record in a song.
Whoa.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's so nice.
He's a nice guy.
He seems nice. And sometimes I think when people have tattoos on their face, I'm a little scared of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not scared of him because he seems so nice.
But what if you knew them before they had a tattoo on their face, like we all knew Post publicly? And then you're like, oh, he got a tattoo on his face. Like it's still like, whoa, what's going
right.
on with him? But it's not like I'm scared of him.
It's right. That's... Well, yeah. And also, it's shame on me for being scared. It's like people are just expressing themselves. They want you to see that they have tattoos.
I think a tattoo on your face, the meaning of a tattoo on your face has changed dramatically since
yes.
we were kids.
I think so, too.
Like when I was growing up, people were like, if someone has a tattoo on their face, like they were in jail and have seen some crazy shit.
Yeah.
And now it's like, they're probably musicians or professional athletes.
Yeah. I mean, some might say that like having a tattoo in general, like went from being like this sort of rebellious thing to now it's like being a girly pop. Sorry, I'm trying to slowly start using Gen Z terms.
Okay. Is girly pop one?
Yeah, just the name of a girl. It's just being a person, I think.
You think?
They could correct me. But I'm just saying like it's gone from being rebellious to just being like everybody has one.
Yeah.
Right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, anyways, we love...
So yeah, so I think I love the Billy Joel original. I think the Fall Out Boy version is also great. I think it's very impressive how they're able to put all these modern events in. And I definitely am a Yes-stalgia for Fall Out Boy. Yes-stalgia.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
My only gripe with the Billy Joel version, is I wish at the end there was like an M. Night Shyamalan style twist where he was like, "We did start the fire."
That would be so cool.
You'd be like, "Oh shit, he had me fully gassed." Like, he had all those great things that happened and then kept saying that they didn't, and then in the end it was turned out that he did.
Oh, that would be crazy. Well, honestly, now that we all kind of know Joe Troman, do you think we could have them re-release this and do that at the end?
Yeah, or the three of us record a new one, all of them put together. You know what I mean? It's like watching like all the Star Wars trilogies, but in chronological.
Right.
And we add stuff from before and after.
So it would sound...
And then at the end we say, "We did start the fire. This was all... It was a trick. It was a story."
So we
trick.
Go like... We go like...
Dinosaurs, cavemen, Marie Antoinette. You know,
let that
meat cake. Yeah. Exactly.
Yep. We did it, and then we sent it to Joe, and we're like, "Check it out."
Yeah, and then you're like, "Cotton gin, cotton gin, cotton gin, cotton gin." That was a big one.
Johnny Tremaine, burn his hand.
Yeah, man. I'll just think it over. We don't have to decide who does the vocals
right
now.
It's for all of time.
We could all sing. We could take turns trading off because that way it's less memorization when we do it for sure live.
Wait. I have an idea. We say it. At the end, we go, "We did start the fire." And then we donate the proceeds to environmental stuff.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Environmental stuff is a great organization. And when you say, "We did start the fire," at the end, you say it like how you said it. The music cuts out and you go, "We did start the fire." And everyone, and then we do a big sound effect like a dun, dun, dun.
And then we say, if you like this, like and subscribe.
Yeah, then you gotta like and subscribe.
Got it.
Want to hear more music like this? Andy, do you think that we have a good podcast?
I wouldn't be in a position to even comment on that as a noted unfan of podcasts.
Okay, well,
yeah,
we had a really fun time with you.
I had a great time doing this. Great to see you guys, obviously.
Yes, great to see you as well.
I had a hoot thinking about Gremlin cereal, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I know. You could really go buy Cap'n Crunch right now, and you'd basically be eating it.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be the same because it wouldn't have...
It would be the shape of Gremlins, too. Yeah, and the box.
Yeah.
And by the way, really quickly before we go, do we want to just play the commercial so everyone can hear it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's definitely stuff to say about the commercial.
Just really quickly. I'm not trying... We know you've got a life to go live, but just really quickly if we want to watch it, just so everyone can hear the commercial. So I do believe a gremlin talks in it, or a mogwai.
That's highly likely.
Are you hungry? Hungry as a gremlin? Here's Gremlin cereal.
Gremlins, gremlins, bite after bite. What a tasty way to satisfy a gremlin appetite.
Gremlins is a deliciously sweet, crunchy cereal that satisfies the hungry little gremlin that's in all of us.
Gremlins, gremlins, bite after bite. What a tasty way to satisfy a gremlin appetite.
Gremlin cereal is part of this complete breakfast.
Gremlin, yum, yum.
Thank you for that. Okay, so first off, the song is like a blatant Oompa Loompa rip.
Yeah.
Right.
Like violent, a violent ripoff.
Yes. Yes. And second, as you pointed out, the logic of what happens when you eat the cereal.
So the kids have mogwai ears in the commercial, but then after they eat the cereal, the ears disappear. Mm-hmm. So they are... maybe in like a District 9 turning into gremlin situation, and the only antidote is the gremlin cereal, and the gremlin cereal is actually mogwais, not gremlins?
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty muddy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'd say that the narrator's voice is scary.
I mean, I think they're like aiming for Vincent Price.
Right, right. There's kind of a lot of ripoffs going on here.
It's all cribbed.
It's ripoff city.
Yeah, and then at the end, they clearly couldn't get an actual Mogwai or Gremlin, so they just got a shoebox and put two little like cutouts of eyes in it. Like a cheap Halloween, you know, decoration on your front porch.
And guess what? We were, no pun intended, eating it up.
That's right. Zero pun intended. Or really any pun. I was just literally eating it up.
Eating the cereal.
Yeah.
Okay. And Olivia says that we will add the commercial in our show notes for listeners in case you want to watch it.
How many of these have you done that you don't know the phrase show notes?
It's a pretty big term with podcasts in general, Vanessa, show notes.
Yeah, show notes. You put the video in the show notes, pictures in the show
the
notes.
The video in the show yeah. notes. Yeah.
Check out I the link it. In the show notes.
Link in the show God, notes.
You're still saying it like you've never heard of it. Pretty impressive.
Now, Andy, speaking of things that people have heard of, I love segues.
I love it.
Where can our listeners find y'all?
Y'all?
Yeah, you y'all. Yeah.
As mentioned, the show Digman, I guess, is what I'm...
Digman.
Yeah, Digman. It's a Comedy Central animated show that I created with Neil Campbell, longtime Comedy Bang Bang, longtime Brooklyn Nine-Nine writer, and my dear friend.
Love Neil.
And it's now streaming on Paramount Plus, if you have that.
Great.
I'm not sure if I do. I got to double check.
Okay.
But it's there now.
Okay.
And it's a very funny show. We're proud of it.
I love that. I love that.
It's a joke bag extravaganza.
That's what I love.
I would say I feel the most myself while working on it than any okay. other thing I've ever done.
Even this podcast?
Is that too far? Did I take it too far?
No, you're doing great.
I'm good for selling it. I think it's pretty funny, but I don't know. And then, yeah, you know, I guess The Lonely Island is available on music streaming sites.
Yeah.
And in record stores.
Yeah. Anywhere you can get that stuff.
Palm Springs is on Hulu.
Nice.
Love Palm Springs. And I got some kind of package for it where I have Palm Springs towels that I use all the time.
The promo stuff. Pretty good stuff.
The promo stuff is really good. And that was such a good movie.
They made the beer from the movie.
Whoa. I also feel like that really cool. movie has now like... It's like really set up other independent films. Like people are like, well, if it has the success Palm Springs has, and you go,
right,
don't, Andy set the bar too high. Sorry, bud.
Oh man, that feels good to hear. Because it was so hard to make.
It was such a good movie and such a success.
Thanks.
And I feel proud of my friend.
Thanks, bud. Well. Right back at you.
Aw. Jonah, we're proud of you too.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you both.
That goes without saying.
That goes without saying. And thanks to Andy for joining us today.
Oh, man. So good.
And to everyone for listening. If you enjoyed this, please subscribe to the podcast and keep an eye out for next week's episode of How Did We Get Weird, where we will discuss more stories from our childhood and cultural touchstones, like movie-themed cereals. Wow.
Classic Vanessa taking the reins. Just driving this thing.
Optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie.
Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.